I'm Karen Given, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know. On Wednesday night, as the Washington Nationals were on their way to taking a 2-0 lead in the World Series, ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr. tweeted, "Even if the Astros get swept, the players will still have outperformed the team's pathetic front office." And we're going to start by talking about that pathetic front office this week. I'm joined by New York Magazine contributing editor Will Leach and by Lindsay Gibbs, sports writer and co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello. Thank you, as always.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so I was ready to jump on the Astros bandwagon until Tuesday morning, which is when I first heard about the actions of Astros assistant general manager Brandon Taubman. After the Astros beat the Yankees in the ALCS on Monday night, Taubman approached a group of female reporters, one of whom was wearing a purple bracelet for domestic violence awareness, and he shouted, "Thank God we got Osuna. I'm so bleeping glad we got Osuna." Sports Illustrated was the first to report this, but many, many eyewitnesses have now confirmed the story. The Astros acquired reliever Roberto Osuna while Osuna was serving a 75-game suspension for domestic violence. And the team has handled this about as poorly as a front office could. First, they called Sports Illustrated fake news. Then they issued a few sorry, not sorry apologies. They finally apologized and fired Taubman on Thursday, but then the GM seemed irked about having to answer questions about the whole thing. And I'm sure this has been a terrible distraction for those Astros players who have never committed domestic violence. But I'm not really sure I care that it's a distraction. Lindsay?
Yeah, I think this whole thing has been so appalling. All week, I've just been picturing those three female reporters having that yelled at them and what that must have felt like. And I'm so angry that they had to report it themselves, that the Sports Illustrated writer was the one who had to report it herself, when we know that other male reporters actually saw this as well and have said since that they should have spoken up sooner. Let's share the burden here of calling out these people and of dealing with organizations that continue to perpetuate this mindset.
Will, what do you make of all this?
Yeah, I actually find it strange that the story for some people seems to have shifted in the last couple of days to one of a failure of messaging. They have been really bad, certainly, in their response to this. But of course they were bad, because they're not sorry because they're jerks. I mean, they're not sorry, you know, and of course they give terrible responses because they have people like this that work for them in the first place. Yes. I have friends of mine that work in public relations. They're like, "Wow, we need to get somebody on that." And I'm like, "No, you shouldn't work for people like that."
The Astros seem to be upset that we keep bringing up this domestic violence thing, right? That they even had to answer questions about why they brought on a guy who was on a 75-game suspension. And I want to be like, hey, you want to stop having to answer questions about domestic violence? Just take domestic violence seriously. And then you won't have to answer questions about it. And we can all talk about baseball again. I'd love that.
But they made a $300,000 donation. They kept touting that.
Oh, well, cool.
And I was like, how much money do you make?
Good point. All right, Will, you're up.
So there's this weird part of baseball culture, as we saw with George Springer when in Game 1 of the World Series. He thought he had hit a home run, so he did not run out of the box quickly enough, and there were some who thought, not me, that he should have scored later in the inning. This happened earlier in the NLDS with Ronald Acuna, who is the best player on the Braves. Like, Ronald Acuna hit, like, I don't have the stat cast on this, but he hit three balls to the moon. Literally to the moon. But all people can talk about is like, well, that Acuna, he's not hustling out of the box. And now listen, batters should run out of the box. Sprint. Do it. Great. Just so these people won't yell at you so much. But it is so strange to me. I always call this the superstar fallacy, which is basically the idea that, like, when a team loses, they always look at the best player and blame him or her rather than blaming the worst players who are the reason that they lost because they're not good.
I'm a big Carolina Panthers fan, and there was a fumble in the Super Bowl that Cam Newton didn't jump on immediately enough, and that was all the sports media talked about for like a week. And this is a player who is regularly bashed for being too aggressive or putting himself in harm's way too often. People just want these superstars to constantly show that they have the work ethic and the grit and everything, in addition to all the talent, because if those of us sitting on our couches had that talent, we would always be hustling. And it's just not true.
It's not.
It is totally not true. Like, have you looked around? Like, people are not hustling.
I always think of Manny Ramirez in Boston, right? So we even came up with a phrase, like, that's just Manny being Manny. And look, it's totally true that Manny Ramirez rarely looked like he was trying very hard. The ball would come at him in the outfield and he'd kind of just like lop over to it and pluck it out of the air like it was no big deal. But just because it looked effortless doesn't mean it actually was effortless. And I feel like it's part of, like, people are sitting at home saying, like, well, I could do better than that. When the fact is, no, you really can't do better than that, right, Will?
Yeah, I think the Venn diagram of people who say they're not hustling enough, and you know what? Pete Rose got a raw deal. Lots of crossover. And it's funny, of course, the great joke about Pete Rose is his nickname, Charlie Hustle, was given to him by Whitey Ford to make fun of him because he walked and sprinted to first base like a chump. And now we've made a whole culture that that fetishizes it. It's very strange.
All right, Lindsay, take us away from baseball, please.
Well, there is another sports championship going on this weekend, and that is the National Women's Soccer League championship game. Of course, everyone was talking about women's soccer earlier this summer when the U.S. Women's National Team won the World Cup. But I think it's an exciting time to look at how women's soccer has grown. This is the seventh season of the league, and we've actually seen, whereas 4 years ago after the World Cup, we didn't see that much of a World Cup bump. The league really didn't take advantage of it. I think this season we really have. Sponsors such as Budweiser have really stepped up. You've had a lot of the teams drawing huge crowds, you know, setting attendance records. And ESPN is going to be showcasing the final.
The fact that it's been going for 7 years is such a good sign, because this was an early thing with the MLS, too. It was, initially, everyone was very worried, like, okay, well, we need the World Cup to give us a big boost and maybe we'll be able to keep going. And you want those bumps, but what you really want is in 2 years, when there is no World Cup, for it to have been higher than it was 4 years ago. And so far, that's been what's happening. And that is an exciting thing to be able to see. I saw the Louisville got an expansion franchise. Yeah. That is very exciting. The idea that, like, expansion, like, early on, it's hard for any league to get some kind of footing, to not only get that footing, but to be expanding. It's very exciting.
I'm going to throw a bummer on this. It's not a total bummer. It's kind of like one of those fake bummers. But I can't help but feel, for the first time ever, that the U.S. is actually lagging behind other countries in bringing up women's soccer right now. England and Germany have sold out Wembley for their friendly in November. That's Wembley, 90,000 seats. Mm. In Spain, La Liga fans keep breaking their own attendance records. It went from 40,000 at a game to 60,000 at a game just in last season. And yes, attendance is up, but the league average is right around 7,000 people per game. Is this just that old Americans don't like soccer thing, or is there something else going on?
Well, I think you have to build fan bases, right? You have to get into communities, you have to build fan bases, and it takes time. The next big thing, though, that the NWSL has to work out is how to get these players more money. Mm-hmm. It's going to start losing its stars. So Sam Kerr, who's the Australian, this could be her last game in the NWSL because she only can make about like $42,000 in the NWSL. And there are these leagues and these teams over in Europe that are offering to pay her upwards of $1 million. You're right. Overseas, they are putting pressure on the United States to really prove that women's soccer is something that we care about. And I think that can only be good in the long run.
All right. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been New York Magazine contributing editor Will Leach and Lindsay Gibbs, sports writer and co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast. Thanks to both of you.
An honor, as always.
Thanks.